Good morning, everybody. Praise God. Well, welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. My name is Peter Sandin. I'm the family pastor here. And for those of you that don't know, whether you're online or here in person, this morning is Baby Dedication Sunday. Baby Dedication. There we go. Yeah, it's a good thing, and we're excited. We do this two times a year, and it's really exciting because families or parents who have recently had a child will come and dedicate their baby to the Lord. And so this morning we have four families with four children that are being dedicated. And if you're able or willing to stand up when I call your name, that'd be great. Mariah Grace, she's being dedicated by her parents, Benjamin and Victoria Smith. Thank you. Willa Ray is being dedicated by her parents, Nate and Lauren Neeson. Donovan James is being dedicated by his parents, Tessa Felton and Dustin O'Donohue. And Maddie Lee is being dedicated by her parents, Jerry and Lindsay Simmons. And I already forgot a piece of paper over here. So if this is your first time to Calvary Gospel Church, thank you for being here. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Or thank you for supporting the families that are dedicating their children. That means a lot to both them and to their children and to us. We do have a few announcements this morning. On the weekend of September 27th, we have a pastor and evangelist, Aaron Wright, will be ministering to us. That's weekend of September 27th. That's a Sunday. But then on Saturday the 26th, there's going to be a men's event where he will be speaking at the event. And there's going to be more details to come. That'll be at 5 p.m. on Saturday. So plug that into your phone if you can, if you want, and if you're a man and you want to come to the men's event. Sunday, the September 27th, and then he'll be ministering at 10 a.m. in the morning. So with that, if we could just all stand, we want to just say a prayer this morning before we start service, and we'll pray that God blesses the service and blesses the families, and then we'll go into some worship, and after the worship, we'll have the baby dedication, and then there'll be a message after that. So let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you for being here in this place, God. Thank you for this service. God, I pray that you would bless this service, God. Bless each family that is here, each child that is here, each individual, whether they're dedicating their children or not, God. I pray that you bless them. Bless the music in this service, God. Bless the dedication, God. Above everything else, God, we pray that you are here and that you are speaking to our hearts and minds, because that is why we are here. God, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And I run to you,
Everything.
Okay, let's just praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what we feel. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercies and your grace. God, you are worthy this morning. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this is your, you know what? You can be seated. We're going to move into the dedication portion of our service. If this is your first time at Calvary Gospel Church, and maybe, you know, maybe we get a little bit excited at times, or we clap, or some people might shout. We look back to what David did in Psalms, and he says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. He was so excited about what God was doing in his life that he said, I'm going to show it physically. And so we do that, and we sing, and we make joyful noises, and so we're pretty excited about that. So just to set up the dedication here, I just wanted to go through something quick. At Calvary Gospel Church, you might be wondering, hey, we're dedicating our children. This is a little bit different. Well, at Calvary Gospel Church, we dedicate our children to the Lord, and we don't baptize them at this stage in their life. We believe in baptism. But this dedication is a sign that we're putting them in God's hands. So when the parents come up here, if they're willing and able, with COVID, obviously, we're going to make some exceptions, but they would be physically handing the baby over to a minister of the church, and that person would represent handing your baby over to God. Much like Hannah did in the Old Testament when she physically gave her son Samuel to the priest to work in the temple once she had weaned him. Today, parents, we symbolically put them in God's hands and know he is able to keep whatever we commit to him, whatever we dedicate to him. In the Bible, baptism, which is full submersion underwater, requires understanding, repentance, and belief. As an infant cannot do these things, we don't baptize them. Plus, just baptizing something without them having understood, believed, or repented is not really accomplishing the purpose of baptism. The dedication ceremony today will require participation, not just from you parents, but from the family and friends that are with you as well. And also with the church family and the church body. Raising children in a godly way requires more than just the parents. And so today what we're going to do is I'm going to have the parents, if you could stand with the child you're going to dedicate, and if the family host, the minister would come up with you. We're going to have our pledge. And then we're going to, for the parents and for the family and church, then we're going to hand the baby to the minister and for prayer. So we'll do that after the pledge. And then we'll say a prayer for the families. And everybody will have a little bit of a role in this. So if you'd like, if you're comfortable, let's try to keep some distance here. Ben and Victoria, if you could be right over here. And Brother Caskey and Nate Neeson right here. Are you guys comfortable right there? And Jerry and Lindsay and Brother Seidel right over there. Now, if you're a member of the family or friends that they invited to be with them, and you are comfortable coming up or you're willing to come up, whether it's, you know, just for comfort or for COVID reasons, you'd like to sit, you can participate from the pew. But if you'd like to symbolically stand behind them to support them, you are welcome to do that. We encourage that. So come on up. Dedication is a time for parents to commit their child back to Jesus. We believe God gave us our children to commit our child back to Jesus, realizing that we are only the stewards of his blessings in our lives. Also, we commit to raising our children in a godly way. To all the parents, family members, and friends gathered here in support today, let this child be a reminder that we are always in much need of God's love and his presence. When this child runs into your arms and wants you to carry them, let it be a reminder that we can always run to the arms of Jesus, where we will be surrounded by his presence. Fathers, the relationship between a father and his child is incomparable. Treat it with care. Be a leader and a guide to your child. Mothers, your child will see you as the mom who can do all things, their caregiver, but also the one who opens her heart to a gracious Savior. So I'm going to ask you some questions. If it's your intention to do what we say, please respond with "I do." So we'll ask questions. You could just say "I do." So, do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? And actually, we could say "we do." That counts too. Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct this child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide them in the development of Christ-like character? Do you promise to try the best of your ability to shape the home life of this child, both by family devotion and by your words and your example, that they themselves will grow in personal relationship with Jesus and will pursue the biblical experience of salvation through repentance, baptism, and infilling of the Holy Ghost? Church family, would you stand? This is your part in the role. And for the family members, you can answer this as well. Will you do all that you can, church family and friends, to provide and support a place of instruction and community where this child and these parents may hear godly wisdom? Will you covenant together as a family and friends to set an example by your lives and to maintain an atmosphere which will inspire these children to desire to live for God? Will you do as God leads you and pray for these families? Parents, if it's your intent to dedicate your child today, and if you're comfortable with everything going on, I would ask that you present your child before the minister or place them in the hands of the minister. Now, we want to say a prayer. Now, I'm setting you up here. We're going to say a prayer. We're going to pray for this child that's being dedicated. We're going to pray for the parents. We're going to pray for the family and friends that are around us, and we're going to pray for us as a congregation, just like we did the pledge, and we're going to pray that God has his way in this life. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this morning. Thank you for your grace and your will and your love. Thank you for these four little blessings that you've given these families, God, this morning. God, Lord, as the parents have symbolically given their child, Lord, to the minister, God, they're showing that they want to dedicate their child to you, that they're committing it to you, God. And your word says you're able to commit anything we commit to you until that day, and you're able to keep it, God. I pray for this child. God, I pray a protection on this child, that you would lead and guide this child, God, that your voice would speak into this child's voice just like Samuel's voice, God. God, and I pray for these parents, God, as they dedicate this child to you, God, as they dedicate their own hearts to you, God, in dedicating their child, God, I pray that you would touch them, that you'd give them wisdom and strength. God, give them what they need, Lord, to raise this child in your will, in your way. And God, I pray for the family and friends here, God, that are going to have little moments in this child's life, sometimes small, sometimes big. God, Lord, I pray that you'd put it on their heart to be an example, God, of you, to be an example of your love, God, to be a mentor to them when it needs to be. God, I pray that you would touch their heart and their mind. And God, I pray for our church family, God. Lord, let us never forget that we are a family, God, and we do this all together. God, and we pray, Lord God, that you would dedicate every one of our hearts and minds, whether we have kids or don't, whether we're old or young or single or married. God, Lord, help me, Lord, to impact the lives around me. And God, I just pray once again for these families, God. Bless them this morning. Bless their children. Bless their marriages. Bless their relationships. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And as much as you have promised before God and this people and this church to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of raising them for Christ, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom and patience and devotion. And may God bless you in your efforts. God bless you. You can start finding your way back to your seat. I'm going to come by with a little certificate for the parents and a little Bible. I love baby dedications. It wasn't always that way. Weird time for a pause, eh? It wasn't always that way. When I was a kid, I was hoping to be in Sunday school for baby dedications. There was a time, Roman, don't tell anybody about this, okay? Don't say this, but there was a time when Renee and I knew a baby dedication was coming and we skipped church and went to breakfast. Because I had this idea that baby dedications, well, you know, we're just speaking to this eight people at the front, and those four kids that don't even hear and can't even listen and don't even know what they're talking about. Right? And this was my perception. And then as I grew older and had kids, like every single baby dedication, I was like, listen, okay, what can I learn today? I need some help. I'm struggling. I need some help. And then they cut the baby dedications down to twice a year, which is a good thing, I think. But then I was like, okay, I need to listen. But then as I started to listen to the baby dedications and the ministers at our church that would share these stories and talk, I started realizing, wait, this doesn't really have, I mean, yeah, it has to do with a baby dedication, but there's something for me in this. I believe anytime God's word is spoken, that I can receive something from it. I don't care if it's a women's devotional or a children's class or a baby dedication. I want to come to the service with an anticipation that God can speak to me because it's his word. Before I get going here, I want to do something I've never been able to do in my entire life, ever. I want to honor my parents while they're here. My mom and dad are in the back. I joked with Bishop Grant a couple of baby dedications ago, my parents dedicated me in this church, not this building, in this church. And every single day, I've said it when I do the baby dedications, but every single day I know they're praying for me. And my dad reminds me of it every so often. It's very humbling and it's very difficult. But thank you, Mom and Dad, for everything you've done for me and my family. I appreciate it. Once upon a time, there was a king and his sister-in-law. And you know what? This is not going to work this way. I thought it'd be really cool to start with a story and baby dedication. But if I told you this story, you would never believe me. Instead, what if I told you there was a story in the Bible that includes wife stealing, revenge, a birthday party, improper dancing, swearing, and to top it all off, a beheading? That's the Bible, okay? But also, what if I told you that is the story I would like to share with you today on a baby dedication? Beheadings. Furthermore, what if I told you that is the story I want to read from today and have everyone potentially hear from God for a lesson for their lives? Well, here goes. I may not get to do another baby dedication, but let's start and let's read from Mark 6, verse 17. This is a story set in the New Testament. It's a story about Herod, and this is the Herod that was there when Jesus died, not the one when he was born and the wise men went to him. It was two Herods later. So, for Herod himself, this is verse 17 in Mark 6, for Herod himself had given orders to arrest John and to chain him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. Yes, there's the first point. John had been telling Herod, so John is the man of God, John the Baptist, who we're talking about here. He's telling Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. She wanted to kill John. But she could not because Herod was in awe of John and was protecting him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man. Even though he knew that, he wasn't doing what John was telling him to do. But he was protecting him. When Herod heard him, he would be very disturbed, yet would hear him gladly. Now an opportune time came on Herod's birthday when Herod gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. When Herodias, his own daughter, came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." So he swore an oath to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. Whatever you want, I will give to you up to half of my kingdom." This is a king, okay? So it doesn't really matter how big or small it is. It's half of a kingdom. Then she went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" "John the Baptist's head," her mother said. Immediately, the girl hurried to the king and said, I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter right now." Though the king was deeply distressed because of his oaths and the guests, he did not want to refuse her. The king immediately sent for an executioner and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And then the girl gave it to her mother. This morning, I want to speak to you on a subject for just a little bit of time called the lost kingdom. The lost kingdom. Can you just pray with me this morning? God, I pray that you would have your way, God, in my heart and in the hearts of everybody here. God, Lord, let your word speak to us in our hearts and our minds. God, Lord, let it not be my voice, but your word that does the work, God. Let it be your word that changes our minds and helps us to see what you have for us in Jesus' name. This story is so interesting to me on many levels. Interesting because Herod knows John is a man of God and knows he is holy and respects him. It's interesting because he is now married to his brother's wife, who he looks like stole, and is watching his stepdaughter dance, what presumes to be not the most pure way. And it's interesting because he would promise so much to a young woman, half of the kingdom. Half, he's like, I'll give you up to half of the kingdom. This is crazy. It was a birthday party, and it was a dance. And it was your like stepdaughter niece thing? I don't know what that is. But more interesting than all that is that the young woman would turn it down. All to get the head of John the Baptist. More interesting than that is that she would turn it down up to half of the kingdom to get the head of John the Baptist. She turned down half of the kingdom. So we got to start asking ourselves, why? Why do you turn down half? I would take that right now. I wouldn't do what she did to get it, but I would take it right now. What would compel a young woman who is probably looking to be noticed and get ahead to turn down half of the kingdom? All for the head of a dude with scruffy hair and a beard who wore camel's clothes and ate grasshoppers. A person who himself said, I'm nothing. Don't worry about me. I'm just a nobody. Wait for the guy after me. But this is the guy she's willing to give up half of the kingdom to get his head. And so we start asking, why would she do that? And the crazy answer is that because her mom told her to. One of the weird obediences in the Bible by children. But not only did her mom tell her mom wasn't even there, it seems like. She had to go ask her mom. And she said, okay, mom, I was just offered anything I want. What should I get? Mom goes, John's head. I can just imagine how that went down. I don't even believe there was a gap there. I don't think there was a thinking process. She's like, John's head. Because it says earlier it was an opportune time. It's almost like this was planned. It's almost like Herodias had said she had issues with John and she was mad at her husband, brother-in-law, for not taking John out. And so she was looking for an opportunity. So now we got to ask the same question about her mom. What would compel the mother of a young woman who is probably looking to be noticed and get ahead and to win her husband's favor to turn down half of the kingdom? And all for the head of a dude with scruffy hair and a beard who wore camel's clothes and ate grasshoppers and said he was nothing. I think what's clear is that Herodias had something against John. Something within her wanted him dead at all costs. Something within her wanted him out of their life at all cost. She might have even arranged the whole thing from the beginning to get him killed. But it still doesn't answer the question, why turn down half of the kingdom? I ask you today, could it be that she had some deep personal issues she had not addressed? Could it be she was letting bitterness and negativity rule her life? Could it be she was so bent on getting even or extracting revenge that she missed the opportunity of having rulership of half of the kingdom? I'm purposely like being demonstrative when I say that. Half of the kingdom. Who would turn down half of the kingdom? Okay, nobody. Who would turn it down for a head? Even less than nobody. It's probably likely that she was a deeply hurting person. And here's where I want to take away from the story. This is not a thing against women, because this is men and women. We're going to start talking to parents here and to individuals. You don't have to be a parent. Could be a man or a woman, a person who refused to see the negative effects of their choices and the path that it was taking them. It is likely this person was deeply offended by someone in life or some group of people and was unwilling to forgive them. I don't know, but I do know this. Her choices were directly passed down to her daughter. Our choices are directly passed down to our children. Her insecurities, her hurt, her offenses, her unforgiveness, her anger, negativity, and bitterness were played out in the life of her daughter, and she probably didn't even realize she was doing it. She probably didn't realize that she was passing it down, and she probably didn't realize that she was losing a kingdom. So what is the lesson in this gross and horrible story? Well, one lesson might be, hey, don't kill the voice of God in your life. Now, God wasn't the voice in her life, but it was the voice in Herod's life. You could preach a whole sermon on that, and in fact, I sat through that sermon once. It was a great sermon. It was a young guy in Silvis, Illinois. Phenomenal preacher. Did a great job. Don't kill the voice of God in your life, which is exactly what they did. But for today and for parents, and even for those of you that are individuals, married, unmarried, single, young, old, a more relevant lesson might be careful what you're letting into your life. Be careful what you're allowing to remain in your life. Be careful the things that are in your thoughts, in your mind, in your heart that keep coming up every day. Because we pass these things down to our children. And they will inherit them. They will inherit them. And they will act on them. We do pass down our hurts and our offenses to our children. We do pass down our negativity and our bitterness to our children. We do pass down unforgiveness to our children. And sadly, just like Herodias, we don't even know we're doing it. We don't even know we're doing it. Furthermore, we probably don't even know what kingdoms we're losing because of these decisions. Half of the kingdom was turned down. Half of the kingdom. That's crazy. You have to be so focused on whatever it is, that one thing, that you're willing to give up half of the kingdom. So blinded, so unable to notice what was going on. And so we lose kingdoms for ourselves, and we lose kingdoms for our children. I don't think when Herodias started out, when she started out with her issues and all, I don't think when she started out, she thought she was going to give up half of the kingdom. I think it was just like, I'm angry and I'm mad, or whatever it is. Once again, person, forget, it's not woman, person. I'm angry, I'm mad, whatever it is, and I just need this head. And I don't care what it costs. But when we get to set thousands of years later and look back at the story, we're like, wow, that cost a lot, right? In the moment, nobody would make that decision. But when you're in that moment and you're overcome with these feelings, you might make the same decision. And more importantly, you'll hand that decision off to your children. But it's not just bad kingdoms we're building. We can also build good kingdoms. We can inherit good kingdoms for our children. Kingdoms built on good things in God's word. We have to ask ourselves, what blessings or kingdoms of God are our children missing out on because they will follow in my footsteps of anger, bitterness, fear, and anxiety? What kingdoms are my children missing out on because I'm not willing to deal with the garbage in my life? Because I'm not willing to dedicate myself? This is a baby dedication. And if you haven't noticed by now, I come and when I speak at the baby dedication, we dedicated the baby. Now I'm talking to the parents. Babies can't hear me. This is your chance to listen and dedicate yourself. We dedicate ourselves. We deal with ourselves. My wife and I talk. We say we don't want to be passive parents. I'm sure we are in other areas. But when it comes to this, I don't want to be a passive parent, one who takes the easy step to dedicate their child. Now, don't take that bad. You came here. This is a big thing. But let's not take the easy step and say, well, I dedicated it. I'm done. It's almost just a tradition at some point saying, okay, God, he or she is yours. I'll wait until you use them. Give me a holler when, you know, something good happens. No, I don't want to be a passive parent. I want to be an active parent who's dedicating myself every day because I can't make my child do the right thing, but I can make myself do the right thing with God's help, and my child will follow that. My child will choose the decisions I choose. My child will choose beheading, or my child will choose a new kingdom, a good kingdom. We even see it in simple things like, you know, financial choices. You see families where they didn't have a great example on finances, and the kids grow up and they don't know how to manage money. We see it the opposite where, you know, it seems like the rich are always getting richer, right? Because they taught their kids how to manage their money. It's just a principle in life. We can pass things down to our children. And we do. We do. So what do we do about this? Well, first, in Matthew 6:33, this is Jesus talking. He says, but seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be provided to you. Now, I don't think he's talking about anger and bitterness and negativity. I don't think he's saying those things. Well, I'll take care of those. You put away your anger and bitterness, I'll give you those. No, he's saying, well, let's see what he's saying. Because right before that, he says, take no thought for tomorrow, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. God knows you want these things. God knows you need these things. He's your father. He cares about you. But don't worry about those. Don't put anxieties and fear and stress on those. Focus on the kingdom of God. And I would tell you, don't worry about getting even. Don't worry about getting that head that you need. Don't worry about that person that did something to you that one time, or that bad situation, or your bad past. Or maybe you had family that didn't bring you up showing you this kingdom. I honor my parents before we started because I did have that. They call that starting on second base. I had that. I had somebody show me that. Just because you didn't have that doesn't mean you can't start now. Doesn't mean you can't make a decision now to seek God and his kingdom first. This should be our number one goal, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven means to live in a kingdom that God is the ruler of, a kingdom that follows his rules. And his rules tell us to what? Love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Defer to your brother. Give freely to those that need. Don't judge other people. Be humble. The verse literally said, do not care about tomorrow and eating and drinking and wearing, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it before the things of life and seek it before your emotions and your feelings and your desires. I see it in the life of Abraham. Abraham had been called by God to be the father of many nations. They said, God told him, Abraham, the number of your kids, the size of your kingdom, can I stretch it there a little bit? The size of your kingdom is going to have as many as the sands that you can count and as many as the stars in the sky. But he was like 100 years old when he had his first kid. Imagine being in that period of life when you're like, I still don't have any kids and I'm supposed to be the father of a kingdom that's as many as the stars in the sky. And he didn't even know how many stars there were back then. We don't either, but we think the number is way more than he would have thought it was. In Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Key word there, he obeyed. And went to a place where he was going to receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. So if you feel a little bit lost, that's okay. Abraham felt lost. By faith he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise, for he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking forward to the kingdom of God. He was looking for a kingdom that he couldn't see and didn't make sense to him, but he said, I'm going to still every day seek that kingdom. I'm going to make decisions about that kingdom. I have no idea how I can have trillions and trillions of offspring when I don't even have one at the time. He obeyed God's word. He did what God was asking him when it didn't make sense. He did it when he felt alone or like a stranger in a foreign land. He did it when he was like 100 years old and was told, hey, you're going to have a child. Now he's like, yeah, sure. He still made choices that were in agreeance with God's word. That's faith. Taking a step every day that is in accordance with God's word, even though your family might not agree with you, even though society might not agree with you, even though self-help books don't agree with you, or maybe you don't get the likes or the smiley emojis you wanted when you're taking these steps. Maybe you're just doing it on your own. Faith is obeying God's word at all costs. If I could have the musicians come up. In the situation of the story we read, faith is Faith is choosing not to pursue your emotions and your feelings, choosing not to act on them, saying, I'm going to trust God instead. For whatever reason I'm angry, for whatever reason I'm hurt, for whatever reason I'm anxious, I'm going to seek God's kingdom first, above everything else. We read in the New Testament when Jesus is talking, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven is like, and there's a bunch of those in the Bible. But two that stick out, he's like, it's like a great pearl. That's so beautiful. And you will, it's so valuable. And a man goes and sells everything he has for that pearl. Then it says the same thing. It's like a field, and they find a treasure, a massive treasure. And what does he do? He goes and he sells everything he has to buy that field and get that treasure. That's the opposite of the story we read. This God, I'm going to give everything to you, everything that matters to me, everything, even people's opinions. Because Jesus said, if anybody wants to come to me, you have to forsake your family. Probably not the right thing to say if you're the family pastor, right? You're supposed to forsake your wife and your husband. You're supposed to forsake your children, forsake your job, forsake your mother and your father, and follow me. Seek after my kingdom. But it's an amazing kingdom. It's a valuable kingdom. It's a kingdom that we cannot afford to lose out on. And so if I do anything today but tell you there's an amazing kingdom, don't lose out on it. That's the message. Don't lose out on it. Don't let your children lose out on it. It's right there. Don't be so caught up in needing somebody to be beheaded that you give it up. Don't do that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know what is worth it? For selling and getting rid of every single part of my life. I'm not talking about physically selling. I'm saying getting rid of all of the things that matter to me and saying, God, I'm going to pursue you at all costs. I'm going to seek you first. I don't know what step. I don't know what level you're at in your faith with God. Maybe you're down here and you're just like, I kind of believe. I don't believe. I don't know. Just try God out. Just give him a shot. I went through a period of time when I was overseas in the Army. And I, even though I was set up very well, I had a lot of doubts in my life. And I went to my, called my dad, and it was really bad connection and all that. And I was probably down here at the bottom. I don't know if God exists. I called my dad. I said, Dad, and I've shared this before, and maybe I'm just sharing it for you, Dad. I don't know. I don't know if you remember it. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I don't know if I believe God anymore. I don't know if it's real. I don't know. My dad's like, that's okay. It's okay. Just try him out. Just see if it works. Just try God out, because my dad said, he's like, every time I've tried God out, he's met me there. Every time I've tried him out, every time I've taken the step like Abraham, he's met me there. It didn't make sense. Sometimes I was alone. Sometimes my family members didn't support me. Not me, you know what I'm saying? But God met me there. And so we, as a people, as parents, as a church, we have an opportunity for obedience. A starting point, as it were, for obedience. A place to start making choices for the kingdom God has for us and our family. A place to start making choices for the kingdom God will have for your children. That starts with you. This is a first step. It doesn't matter what kingdom was left to you. It doesn't matter whether your parents have started you on step zero or step four, whether you're on first base or third base. It doesn't matter where you started. God says, come to me, everybody. Come as little children. I tell that to my daughter, Sophie, all the time. I'm like, you know what? And I tell this to actually all my kids, because sometimes they're hesitant to pray. They're hesitant to pray. And I say, you know what? I wish I could be you, because God likes your prayers the best. God likes children's prayers the best. And you know why? Because he said, come to me. All you adults, if you would just come to me like children, you'll get it figured out. So sometimes I pray and it's pretty basic, and I talk about great big gods, and I don't know. I pray like a 5-year-old sometimes, but this God's asked me to come to him like a child. So it doesn't matter what step you're at. It doesn't matter what kingdom was left to you. You can start your own kingdom today. And God's promising you this kingdom. But it's not just a kingdom for you, it's for your children. I read this last time I preached, but I don't think this verse ever gets old. But in Acts, Peter got up to speak, and it was the day of Pentecost, and everybody had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and he started preaching to all the people that were like, what is going on with these crazy people? They're worshiping a little weird. They're getting a little loud. They're clapping. They're speaking in other tongues. And Peter's like, hold on, let me tell you something. And he preaches this message. And he preaches this whole message. I'm going to save you the time, but it's in Acts 2. And at the end of the message, all the people, they heard it. They came under deep conviction. They're feeling something in their heart. Oh man, my life isn't right. I got to fix something. And maybe you're feeling that today. That's not because I'm telling you that you're bad or you're horrible. That's God saying he wants to work in your heart. And so they looked at Peter and the rest of the apostles like, what are we going to do? What should we do about this? We feel this in our hearts. And Peter says, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But then he goes down one more step. He says, for the promise is not just for you, but it is for your children and for all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's for you. Maybe your parents didn't get this. It's okay. You can fall under the Lord our God shall call bit. You could fall under the far off bit. This is your chance. But it starts with repentance. And it keeps going with being baptized. And we do this every day. God, I got to dedicate myself today. God, I don't know if it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour. Whatever you have, whether you're a parent or not, you take every moment and dedicate yourself today, because you're building a kingdom. You will get a kingdom. When this is all done, you will have a kingdom. I guarantee it. There is going to be a kingdom. What do you want it to be? If you could all stand with me. You're building a kingdom, but you can't see it. And you might never see it. Might be like Abraham. You might have seen the one kid and his son and his son. Maybe that's all you saw. But there's a kingdom you're building. A kingdom that will last generations. A kingdom that will be passed down to your children. And like I said, you will pass down a kingdom. You are building one, and you will pass one down, whether you like it or not. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of what type of kingdom you're going to pass down. And so my message today is, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't lose it. Don't be so tied down to your own fears and anxiety and stresses and issues that you give up that kingdom, that you lose that kingdom. Don't be so afraid that you allow your children to lose that kingdom. Don't take your walk with God so lightly that our children will lose it on their own. And do the same thing we did by taking it lightly. We already made a really awesome and a powerful gesture that you could be commended for by bringing your children up and dedicating them to God and his kingdom. But let's not stop there. Let's not be merely passive parents this morning. But let's work to be active parents who are seeking the kingdom of God for our lives and for the lives of our children. We could take some time this morning right now to talk to God. At the end of every service, we could just, shake hands and, hand out Starbucks gift cards, and we could just all just work our way around. Maybe, we can't do it now in COVID, right? We're trying to be more cognizant. We could do it like that, but we come to church to hear from God. I come to church to connect with God, to hear from his Spirit. And so I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't give you an opportunity and we didn't take a moment to pray. If I didn't give you a moment to come down to the front and say your own prayer. Maybe you want to stand in the front. It's not a big area. We got to do some distancing. Maybe you just want to pray in your seat. Guess what? God can hear you in your seat. This just in. Okay? So let's take some time this morning and talk to God. If you don't know what to say or to do, and you're one of the family or friends here, talk to the family host you're with. They can help you. They can just say, hey, would you pray for me? Just walk up and say, hey, can you pray for me? I don't know what to pray. They'll pray for you. If you want to say, hey, I don't know how to pray, but I want to pray, they'll help you pray. If you're not dedicating your child, but you're a parent, you can rededicate yourself to the kingdom of God today. Just because your child's not a baby anymore doesn't mean you're still not trying for a kingdom, or that you're not going to hand something down. It doesn't mean you're too far gone in the kingdom you're building that you can't build something different or new. Ask God to show you the things in your life that don't align with his will as your king. Ask him to help you remove those things from your life. Ask him to do a work in your marriage and in your family, regardless of the age of your children or how long you've been married or whether your kids are out of the house. And if you don't have children or have never had children, or maybe you're a youth or somebody that's been going to church for a long time. That's a fancy way of saying something else. Now is the time to dedicate yourself to the kingdom of God. To remove the things in your life that are not pleasing to your king. To ask him to help you to love him and to love your neighbors. So this area, your seat, whatever, they're going to start singing here in just a second, but take some time to pray. Take a moment. Take 2 or 3 minutes. Just pray. Just speak what's on your heart to God. Maybe you're going to say it quietly. Maybe you're going to say it loudly. I don't know. Talk to God. Ask him to help you with the kingdom you're building. Don't let your children or yourself lose out on an amazing kingdom because you are too busy with your own issues. Remember the lost kingdom. Remember the lost kingdom.